Did you older people get out of the way? Right over here, Seth. With all the other children and young people, would you come up here? Not you. You're have room for these young people up here. How about these? Would you two come up here? Yeah. Get up. Get up. These young people. I want to talk to you tonight. While they're getting situated, I want to say thank you to the church. Susan and I, as of April last year, we completed... No, I'm not ready yet. I'll holler at you. We completed 40 years since we went to Mexico. And it's been quite a ride. There's been a whole lot of ups, and there's been some downs, and there's been some victories, and there's been other things. It's been a wonderful time, and this church has been the part that has done more for us than we could ever imagine. 40 years of faithfulness. If you want an example of what faithfulness is, you need to see what this church has done in my life and the lives of many other missionaries that have went out. And there cannot be enough thanks to you. And so, thank you so much. And the meals have been great. We're looking forward to a couple more, and we'll do fine. I wanted to talk to you young people tonight. I've been watching you, and I am so impressed. I want to say you are an example of really fine young people. And I want to share with you some things that maybe it'll help you think things a little better. Oh, I got a whole bunch over here. That's good. I had the greatest blessing that a young person could have when I was 2 years old. My mom and dad were not Christians, and they didn't have any interest. They were from families that had no Christians whatsoever. And my mom and dad went to a revival meeting they were invited to when I was 2 years old. It was February the 2nd, 1954. I don't remember that. I was told that. I know that the date because the 1 year later, my sister was born on that same date. And at that meeting, the preacher preached the gospel, and my dad and mom were convicted. And my dad turned to my mom and I says, "Are we going to do this thing? Are we going to accept the Lord? Are we going to?" And Ma said, "Yeah, well, yeah, maybe, I think we should." And my dad said, "If we do this thing, we're going all the way.
Amen.
We're not going to go half-hearted. We're going to go all the way." They got up, went down to the altar, and they accepted the Lord. From that day on, we did not miss church.
Amen. Amen.
They went all the way, three times a week, and anything that was going on, my mom and dad were there. We built buildings, anything physical that could be done, they were there. They taught Sunday school, they were involved in all this stuff, and as us kids came along, I and my three younger sisters, we were right there with them. What a blessing. I was raised in a Christian home. Nobody else in our family were. My cousins, and we had a big family. My great-grandfather had 17 kids, and my grandfather had 10 kids. And when we had the family reunion, there was 100 of us little kids your age. It was a wonderful time. But we never missed. And I never remember having any problem except twice. Two times a year. One was the Jackson reunion. We had a Jackson reunion every year on the second Sunday of July. And it was so much fun. The aunts had games and we played and we had competitions, but our family had to get there at 1 o'clock. Everybody else started at 10, and so I didn't like that too much. So that wasn't too much fun for me to miss out on 3 hours of the Jackson reunion. which now I look back and it wasn't that big a deal. And the other thing was is that Bonanza, you students don't even know what that is. That was a television show of Westerns, and they had shooting and they had fist fights, and you've seen Bonanza. Well, I never saw the original run. We didn't have VCRs and all that, so I've only seen reruns because we were always at church at 8 o'clock Sunday night. But other than that, it's all positive.
Amen.
I was raised up in a place that taught me that a clean living life was going to benefit me for the rest of my life.
Amen.
I was given the Word of God, and I got saved when I was 5 years old. So what I remember the furthest back in my whole life was that I got saved, and I remember running out up and down the sidewalk yelling, I'm saved, praise the Lord, I'm saved at 5 years old. But then as I got in, like in junior high and high school, we started having people come visit our church that were preachers. And they always picked preachers that had lived a terrible life. They were sinners, and they were terrible men until they got saved, and then they told about the power of their salvation, which is a wonderful thing, isn't it? To see somebody that's a no good for nothing that gets saved and he's now turned his life around, that's a wonderful thing. But I felt like I didn't have a very good salvation. What did I have to ask God to forgive me for at 5 years old? I hadn't killed anybody and I hadn't been a drunk, but the worst thing up to then, in my opinion, was stealing. Because I would sneak into the cabinet and steal Mom's chocolate chips. I loved the chocolate chips, and I would get after me. I had some times when I talked back to my mother, and my dad found out about it. So I don't think that can be held against me for eternity because my dad took care of it. He whooped me really good. So I think those sins have been paid for. But what was my salvation compared to all that these other men were telling us about? But then I realized my salvation was so much greater.
Amen. Yes.
God had to come down and go into the filth of this earth to pull them people out of their sins. There's some in this room that can tell you about that.
Yeah.
They had gotten into so much junk and garbage, they had destroyed their lives, that even today that they're saved, they're hindered from serving God.
Right.
Sin has consequences.
Right.
Physically, mentally. My salvation was glorious. I was saved from getting into those things. And you kids have an opportunity to have a life that's free from the consequences of a wicked life. There's nothing more valuable you can do at this time. I see you now and you've been so obedient and so happy. I would like to be young again, to be with you. But don't ruin it.
Yeah.
Don't lose it. Don't think your salvation isn't that much because you haven't been saved from a terrible life of sin. You've been saved out of it. You've been saved from it.
Amen.
I wasn't perfect. I have some regrets. There are some things that I cannot get out of my mind. I can't remember the verse that I want to read to you tonight. But I can remember things that I shouldn't remember from the time I was a teenager.
Yeah.
I wasn't perfect, but that was my nickname in school. They made fun of me the whole time because I wouldn't race my car, because I wouldn't go out drinking with them, because I wouldn't run around, I wouldn't do the things that they were doing. And at that time it hurt me. I had one friend when I was growing up, and he ended up being my brother-in-law. He was a friend. Although I ran around with others, he was a friend because he never, ever, it suggested that I do something that I shouldn't. He never told me, why don't we go do this? Why don't we do that? He was my only true friend.
Amen.
He's a friend to this day.
Amen.
So many of the others, all they wanted to do was get me in trouble. For that, they called me perfect. Oh, he's just perfect because he won't race his car. He's perfect because he won't go drinking. I don't have the baggage they do.
Right.
And you have that opportunity.
Amen.
I want to read you a verse in Ezekiel 4:14. See if you guys... Then said I, Lord God, behold, my soul hath not been polluted. You know what that means? To be polluted? That means that you have taken things into your life that destroys you. Destroys you physically, mentally. Will be carried with you the rest of your lives. From my youth up even till now have I not eaten of that which dieth of itself or is torn in pieces, neither came there abominable flesh into my mouth. I have it taken into myself.
Amen.
The future of your lives will depend on what you take into your life starting right now.
Amen.
Starting right now. You young people, how are you going to prove to your mate, the one you decide to marry, that you will be faithful? It's just words. You go up and say your vows and you say, I will be faithful to all my whole life. But it's just words. How can you show any proof? Start right now being faithful to your spouse.
Amen.
But I don't know who she is. I don't know who he is. Someday the Lord will send you one. You'll only be lucky if you get one like I did. The Lord had to go all the way to Mexico to get me a spouse. And we were faithful to each other before we ever knew our name. Each other's name. That's how you can prove your faithfulness. On your wedding day, you can say, I've been faithful to you, my wife, my whole life. For that, I can say I'll be faithful for the rest of my life.
Amen.
Think that through. And you guys enjoy your life. But you be thankful. And I suggest that tonight you thank the Lord that you were born and raised in a Christian home.
Amen.
A home where you can grow up knowing God the Father, God the Savior. The God that's can guide you through the troubles that you're going to have in life. They're coming. Everyone, no one is exempt. But you got someone that can guide you and help you. And life can be a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And you can grow up and be a servant of God, filled with the joy of knowing that you're in the most important work on the face of the planet.
Amen.
Whether you go to a mission field or you stay in a church, but you're serving what he has for you. You can have a glorious life, but you got to make the decisions right now. It's a lot on you. But you have the opportunity because you have Christian parents. You have the guidance of people that love you more than anything else. They will give their lives for you. Do never, never think that what they're telling you is to hurt you. They're not. The rules they put down and the regulations they put and what they expect of you is to make the life better for you.
Amen.
No one else has that much love for you, that much care for you, that sacrifice that much for you. Take a moment to thank your parents.
Amen.
For being Christians.
Amen.
For serving God. I know missionary kids, pastor kids, they begin to resent that mom and dad are distracted by their responsibilities. Distracted by helping others. Do you know what most kids this day and age have against their parents? They're distracted by all of the wickedness they're in. Doing only what pleases them, destroying their lives and their family.
Yes, that's right.
And you have parents that are unselfishly giving their lives for others.
Amen.
It's a great joy to see your kids get in here and sing and be a part of this.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Part of the work that you're doing. Get involved. You'll find out that taking care of other people's needs is much greater satisfaction than fulfilling your own. That's why these missionaries have been on the field. Some of them as long as I have, and the reason they haven't been longer, because they're not that old. You got a glorious opportunity. And I pray that you will not waste it.
Amen.
The next generation of Christianity depends on you. Just a minute, we're going to show you some slides when some of us were handsome and physically fit. And you're going to see some in these pictures that aren't any bigger than you. And now they're pastors of the church, and now they're missionaries, and now they're doing God's work too. We passed it on, and they're passing it on.
Amen.
And if you don't pick it up, who's going to do it?
Amen.
Huh? Would you like to see your mom and dad, your grandma and grandpa, when they were young? So we're going to show you a few slides real quick, and then, so brother, can you help me with the, where's my helper? We'll set up here, and it'll just take a minute. These are slides that I took back before cameras. They're on the old-fashioned. At the time, this was state-of-the-art. It really was. When we had two projectors, Brother Lindo remember, we had a slideshow that we would take to a couple of churches, and there were two of these projectors, and they were two screens, and it was flashing back and forth. You remember that?
Yeah.
And we had somebody with good voices singing the whole time on it. It was quite a deal. I don't know whatever happened to that system, but
I don't know.
Probably in a museum somewhere. So anyway, let's see what we can do. I don't know if you recognize anybody in there, but that is...
No doubt a mission, Calvinist. Remember who this beautiful lady is. Griffiths. This is Verlaine Kincaid. She's behind here. Here she is again, and that's my wife, Susan. We're definitely in the mission conference if you got the Mexican flag up. This is Susan's parents, Sandy's parents, the one who plays it. That's Brother Dale and Elder West. The preacher of grace, one of the most sincere and happiest men. There's a thin guy. Susan, my wife. What a looker. That's Joe. That's Susan's little brother in Poland. Oh, we gotta go back. That's his wife, Debbie, in Poland. That's Marty. She was a single lady that came down and worked with the children in San Luis and then Querétaro. And she put together a Bible school, a Sunday school lesson program. Whole year, 2 years worth of different lessons. Got it all prepared so that the teachers could use that as an outline. And they use it yet to this day.
Thank you.
There's Debbie.
That's pretty.
Yeah, pretty. This is the Dynamic Four with Michael. Yeah, there's Brother Adrian Silva and Bill and Brett and I and my son Michael. We printed and went to a lot of places to pass out tracts. And this is one of our track trips, and you recognize any of them? There's our children. You see your. There's David. There's Donnie. That's Jason.
Yay!
Hey.
Yeah.
Joshua.
Where's the first one?
I don't know who's this one on the end.
Yeah.
Do you know? That's Amanda. That's my daughter Wendy. That's Tony Silva. That was Adrian's brother. He went down for a couple years and worked in the film ministry. That's we're folding tracts, and we've got them little green cards. Are offering a Bible class not online. Correspondence course. And the one in the front here on the left is my dad, and the other one behind him, the other man, is a guy that came from Michigan to visit us. Money came down from this church to print the gospel in the newspaper, and we put it in a magazine that stays around longer in the newspaper, and it happened to be at the time of the earthquake in Mexico. And they doubled the circulation, they went all out, and every one of those had a gospel tract and an offer of a correspondence course. 7,000 responses came back out of that printing wanting a correspondence course. There were a few that went through the whole 26 courses of that. And that was Bill's first printing operation. Is that a mimeograph, Bill?
Yeah.
And then we got us a Chief 15 printer. Of course, we didn't know how to run that thing. So Bill, he tears it completely down so that he could see how it's put together, put it back together, and then he knew how to adjust it. And he got to where he could print photographs on that old beat-up machine. And it printed literally millions of tracks that we folded and passed out. Oh, there's your grandpa. Our printing operation run on Coca-Cola, if you can see. We're folding tracks. This stack right over here, there were cards offering the correspondence course. That time they're yellow. We were doing really good with the correspondence course, but the postage was very cheap. And then they just went crazy with the cost of the postage, and people would not send back that card. And it pretty much put an end to it. The first couple years was a lot of... That's Susan. I think she's posing for the picture. I don't know if she's studying. This is a man who volunteered to take care of the correspondence courses and do when those 7,000 responses came, him and his wife took that on as their ministry and handled the sending out the courses and correcting them and having the communication. Named Victor Caballero. He has passed away now. And this we went to Guadalajara. They have a Day of the Virgin when the in Zapopan, which is a little town which is now incorporated into Guadalajara, had this god, which was a large piece of corn stalk. The story is that there was this one giant corn plant that had a huge amount of corn on it. And so the people thought it was divine or special. So they took a small piece of that, and every year it would make a trip around to the different little villages so that people could pray to this for a better harvest. Well, when the Spanish came, they said, you've got the right idea, you just got the wrong, you just don't have it complete. So it's an idol. So they made a little doll about 18 inches high, and they supposedly put that stalk of corn in the center. And of course, now you got something much more attractive to look at. And every year, that little idol goes out and makes the rounds of these little villages where people pray that they have a good harvest. And then on this day, it goes from the next to the last stop before it goes home, from the Cathedral of Guadalajara to the Cathedral of Zapopan, which is about 4 miles. They build a huge, big six-lane highway so that these people can gather at it. And Bill and I got done passing out 60,000 tracts in just a couple hours, and we're out of tracts, and he has a video camera. what do you call it, a VCR, the big old tape thing, so it's a big thing. And I had a Nikon camera with a big lens, and we walked by this truck that had a lift boom. And they thought we were from this paper, from a newspaper or something in the States. They said, come on, get in this. We'll put you up and you take pictures. So we're way up in the air looking down this street, and there's literally millions. They're talking 2.5-3 million people in that street, and they're waiting to receive this thing in the center, which is that doll standing up in the back. And you can see the white shirts and things. Them are men with a rope pulling this cart, carrying this doll. And that's it. That there is Virgin of Sepulchre. And then we spent 2 years in the going to the Huasteca, which is an area of town, which is an area of Mexico, which is like a rainforest. And we always wanted to go to this special place in the river where it starts, the birth of a river. And we had to cross the river to go a couple of miles. And so we crossed this river. We had a van that we'd have 15, 20 people in. And you go into the river with the current and get where it's kind of protected and then turn. The water hits the van and wants to tip it over. So as we dirt the corner, my father-in-law driving yelled, "Everybody to the right, everybody to the right," and hold it down. And you can't believe this thing. The water is up to the bottom of the windows. And that van, we could make that turn. We had two trucks to get caught. We had to pull them out, and then we would go across rivers in these dugout canoes to get to villages up in the mountains. What's that?
Showing films.
Right. We would take a projector that weighed 45 pounds. We would take a light plant, which weighed 95 pounds. We took our food, we took our bedding for sleeping. We'd go and spend 3-4 days up there at a village that you could only get to by walking. And we had a Nicky pile, which is a strap you put across your forehead, tied on, and you put it on your back. And Bill and I would take turns carrying. One would carry the light plant for a while, and the other would get the lighter projector. And then somebody would have the film, and my father-in-law would always take us 1/2 gallon of milk. And when we go, and you're talking hours to walk up some of these places. It was, and we had so many visitors come down because everybody thought that was mission work. But it came a time we realized that you had to be there all the time to go to church. And we were leaving a city of 500,000 people that needed salvation, and we could be there every day